But these are letters that are different than letters that you and I would write. These letters, God knew were going to end up in this Bible. A lot of people wrote letters back then. These weren't the only ones written around the churches. There was a lot of letters being written. Paul probably wrote more letters than what we have here. No doubt he did. To different churches, different people, covering different topics that God didn't see fit to put them in the canon of Scripture. But these he did. So any verse that we come across here is not just another closing to a letter, not just another salutation, not just another how are you doing. But these letters are inspired by God for a certain purpose. And he's in verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And in verse 17, the gears change. And I've preached about this before, but it's just been on my heart for the last few days. He stops everything in verse 17. All of the usual closings and all the usual greetings that he's fixing to finish the letter with. And he says, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Then he goes on, the salutation, by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. And that's the one verse that jumps out at me every time I read it. We don't know much about Archippus. Apparently a young man, probably a young preacher boy. And for whatever reason, as Paul was being moved by the Holy Ghost and sensitive to those nudges that God would give him one way or another, all of a sudden a red flag went up about Archippus. And he inserted this verse, and he didn't just leave it as haphazard, and he didn't just leave it as check on him and see how he's doing. He didn't just leave it as let me know if he's still around, let me know if he's still going to church. Has anybody seen him at the youth rallies? Check on Archippus, go knock on his door, just make sure everything's okay. But he went real specific in verse 17, and he told him to take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Why did he say that? Because there is always the possibility, regardless of how great our gift may be, and regardless of how great our ministry potential is, there's always a possibility that we fall short, Brother Rob, and don't do what God had intended for us to do. Everybody has got, I believe, the epitome of a life lived for Christ. Everybody has the high water mark of what they could be for God. Everybody has the top standard to shoot for of just what God would be able to do with their life if they would give everything over to Him. I was even reading through those verses the other day about where Paul, I believe it was, saying, so, you know, the ones that don't have a husband or don't have a wife, they're not bound with the things of this world, and they're not concerned with the things that married couples are concerned with. And I thought, my, I'm glad I read that after. You know, glad I got into that and started looking at that more after I got married, because that, you know, that'd be a hard thing for. But Paul was saying there's times when if someone lives a single life and if someone isn't married, that they're going to be able to give theirself better to God. So everybody has that high water mark, and Archippus was the same way. He had something that God had spoken to his heart about, whatever that ministry may have been, whatever that area was that God wanted him to excel in, whatever his sights were set for, whatever thing that God had laid out for him. Paul got a nudge in the spirit and got a little bit of an inkling that there could be something wrong there. And Archippus, maybe with his sights set, was just starting to lower him a little bit, maybe getting a little bit weary, maybe getting a little bit fatigued in working for the Lord, maybe getting to the place where he didn't think anybody cared about what he was doing. Maybe he was cleaning the church and nobody patted him on the back. Maybe he was preaching the best that he could and nobody said anything about it. People couldn't even remember what he preached on when it was all said and done. And maybe the devil started coming in with a depression that sometimes gets a hold of a minister when he thinks he's up here doing his best and no results and nobody coming to the altar and nobody having a changed life experience. Maybe Archippus was that way, and he'd gotten to the point where he was wondering if it was anything worthwhile to continue with, Brother Paul. And in that midst of maybe depression, or in that midst of starting to get on some slippery ground or some loose footing, Paul gets a little bit of an inkling of that in the Spirit. And he stops his letter and he says, you go get a hold of Archippus and you say these exact words to him. Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you've received in the Lord and make sure you fulfill it. I don't know what the problem was. I don't know what it was about Archippus that Paul would bring that up. I don't know what it is that that would make Paul throw that red flag up. But how many of you know that when we see those red flags come our way, it's time to do exactly what they say and take heed. If we're not careful, we'll run right past those flags and those markers, and we won't take heed. And before you know it, you're in trouble. Before you know it, you're not just on slippery ground. You're going down the slope faster than you ever thought you would. Before you know it, that ideal life they got it planned out for you is a million miles away spiritually. And before you know it, all the wonderful things that you could have done for God now seem like impossible events would ever happen to get you back to that place. Why? Because you went flying past one of those red flags. You went flying past when the preacher stood in the pulpit and tried to get you to come and pray. You went running right on past and having a good old time when somebody was throwing up a red flag and somebody was trying to tell you, take heed to what you're doing. You just went right on past it. Before you know it, your life's in ruin. And your life is a mess. And your life's a wreck. And you're to the place where you don't even know what it was and how it was that you got here. But all it was just going past those flags that the Lord throws up from time to time to let us know to take heed. That's what gets you in trouble. I told you about the cross on Carmody Boulevard. She went by it again today. I read it every time I go by. Sean Kennedy. I didn't know him. Maybe you did. He died there on Carmody Boulevard in a car wreck. I believe it was 1992, if I'm not mistaken. And someone, through the last five or six years, has kept that cross there and has made sure that somebody remembered. But if you look on Carmody Boulevard, on the other side of the road, almost in the exact same spot, and probably if you was coming the other way, you would see one as well. I can't off the top of my head remember. But there's a sign there. That says slippery when wet. And as I went by that today, thinking about this message and thinking about these words, take heed, I started to put two and two together. And I thought, my, what would it have been maybe? Was that Sean Kennedy's problem? Was it the fact that as he was going through there in a car, traveling at an excessive rate of speed, with that sign in his headlights glaring just like it had done day after day, would it be to the point, because it's right on one of them curves, would it be to the point where instead of heeding that warning, and instead of taking heed to what it told him to do, he went right on and pushed the gas down a little bit more and said, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not going to bother that. I'm a good driver. I'm able to get around these curves. I know what to do when the car starts fishtailing. And he just disregarded all the warnings that had been placed there before him. And before he knew it, was into the guardrail and his life was gone. Could that have been what happened to Sean Kennedy? I've been on Carmody Boulevard when it was wet and when I had good tires on the car. I don't have such good ones on there now, so I seldom go on there when it's raining. And especially on that motorcycle, I just never did go on Carmody Boulevard when it was wet on that motorcycle. Because those tires, you can see the air through them. You know, they're really thin. And I never did. I never would. Because I've been on there with good tires. And in a good situation, with good rubber on the road, and still, Brother Croucher, for whatever reason, would get to hydroplane a little bit and nudge over a little bit closer to that guardrail. And my heartbeat raised up a little bit, and I let off that accelerator and get the car back under control. Even in the best of times, it's still good to heed those warnings. Even when revival's going on, and when you don't feel like there's anything between you and God, when someone places one of those warnings up, don't just throw your hands up and say, it don't matter to me, because I'm as close to God as I've ever been. It may be just for you, because right around that corner somewhere, in a blind alley that you can't see, we're coming up a situation that you don't know anything about, and you're going to need to take heed. The revival's going to be over someday. The spirit that you're feeling is going to be waning, and there's going to come a low time in your life. And if you're not careful, we won't take heed when we need to. We won't take heed when those signs start going up, and when we need to start watching. Flip over to 2 Samuel. We may go back here later, but flip over to 2 Samuel chapter 20. Just a short little story here. We won't go on into all the details about it. But here is a story about Joab. And he's a man that had done some wrong things. At times had done some right things. but he had other times done some wrong things. And in verse 4, then said the king to Amasa, assemble me, the men of Judah, within 3 days, and be thou here present, because he's going to send them out and chase down some people. He wants them to get him ready. That probably would have been Joab's job, if truth was known. And that may have been what got him upset. But as you go down through there and start reading, it says that Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he tarried longer than the set time which he had appointed him. So David said to Abishai, said, now call Sheba, the son of Bichri, and do us no more harm than did Absalom, and take thou thy Lord's servants and pursue after him, lest he get in fenced cities and escape us. So David sent out somebody else to do the job that Amasa was sent out to do because he took so long. And then finally it says there went out after him Joab's men, and the Cherethites, and the Pelethites, and all the mighty men. And they went out of Jerusalem to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. When they were at the great stone which is in Gibeah, Amasa went before them. And Joab's garment that he had put on was girded unto him, and upon it a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loins in the sheath thereof. And as he went forth, it fell out. That should have been the sign that Amasa was looking for, or Amasa, however you may want to say that. And Joab said to Amasa, art thou in health, my brother? My, how cunning he can be. And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him. In other words, he was going up to him just like he was a friend, and just like there was nothing wrong between the two of them, and everything was going to be fine. But then it says in verse 10 that Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand, so he smote him therewith in the fifth rib and shed out his bowels to the ground and struck him not again, and he died. In other words, at a time in Amasa's life when he should have really been looking for those signs, maybe he was doing, had been promoted by David to a position that Joab wanted. And here Joab comes up to him with the envy in his eye and with the treachery in his heart to do him something wrong. And the sword that he had wrapped around had fell out and exposed itself. But Amasa never took no thought of it, never took heed to what was going on, and fell right into the trap that Joab wanted him to fall into. And when Joab was going up as if to kiss him, he took that and ran it through his fifth rib and killed him right then and there. Why? Because Amasa never took heed. He never looked out for the signs. He never looked out for the warnings. And that was an assassination that happened in 2 Samuel because someone wasn't watching. Today is November 22nd. 35 years ago in Dallas, Texas, John F. Kennedy was shot. My mother told me the story a few years ago. I asked her one time where she was that day, and I asked her again today. She didn't remember exactly what she had told me before, but when I called her today and asked her what she was doing when John F. Kennedy got shot, she told me that she was ironing, and I remember that part of the story. And then she said, what were you doing? I said, Mom, I was 6 months old. She said, oh yeah. She said, you don't seem... She said, you don't seem that young anymore. She said, but I said, Mom, I don't know what I was doing. I was 6 months old. I was probably in the crib somewhere. She just always figured, you know, people knew where they were when John F. Kennedy was shot. I said, Mom, I don't know where I was at, Mom. I was 6 months old. They were on Carolina Street. And the story I remember Mom telling me the first time that she wasn't able to recall today, that was that she was out in the backyard hanging up clothes. And that there came an unusually large swarm of, I believe it was blackbirds, that flew over and almost darkened the sky and got to the point where it was almost like the clouds were going over. And as she looked up at that, and as she looked and she thought how odd that was, she said the thought occurred to her that something might be going to happen today. Something might be going to go wrong today. As she went back into the house later, when she was ironing clothes, she said, I think it was about 1 o'clock, and that's just when it was. She said that it came over the news that John F. Kennedy was dead. And I've heard different stories about Abraham Lincoln when he didn't want to go to Ford Theater, I believe it was. Didn't have all much of a desire to go there. I believe I heard stories similar to Kennedy, that he didn't want to go to Dallas at that time, didn't want to do it. And possibly, who knows, that those may have been warnings from God himself, because God holds the kings of this world in his hand to do with as he pleases. And possibly those may have been warnings from God there may have been something that was going to happen, but because they didn't take heed and because they didn't watch out for what was happening, on they went. And we know that history tells the story of both of their assassinations. I went to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base over the week with the high school students on a field trip. I believe it was May. They got in Air Force One that was in use when Kennedy was a president. As you walk through there, you could go to the place. There's the cut in the wall where they would not put the casket in the cargo hold. They actually cut out part of the wall, removed two rows of seats to lay that casket out in the area where the passengers sit. And there's a plaque there where Jacqueline Kennedy sat just in front of that coffin as they brought that body back to Washington. And right there in the same aisle where I was standing is the same aisle where Lyndon Johnson stood with Mrs. Kennedy behind him in her bloodstained clothes as he took the oath of office that day, just a few hours after Kennedy died. And right there on that spot. And I thought, man, how history may have been different, and how that turbulent era of the 60s with all of the different things that happened from that point afterward may have been different had Kennedy took just a little bit of a heed and maybe changed his plans. I don't know, he may not have been all that good of a president. He wasn't necessarily all that spectacular if you look at history up until that time. It wasn't like he was he was the best president that we ever had. He had problems in his life, and he had different areas that could have been better, just like anybody can. But what would have history been like had he just for one minute maybe thought to himself, if he had been just a spiritual man that would have seen one of those warnings coming his way and said, maybe I won't go this way. Maybe I won't take this trip. Maybe it was just a small flag. Maybe it was just a small area in his life where he didn't know what was going to happen. But around that next corner, if he would have just hesitated for just a minute, just what would have history have been like? I know that if you look at history, you can see where he was, and this, I didn't mean this to be a history lesson, but his last order was to remove, his last presidential order that he made was to remove some 1,000, I believe, troops from Vietnam. The first presidential order that Lyndon Johnson made before those boys ever got home was to turn around and send them back. What would history have been like had John F. Kennedy lived? What would it have been like had he heeded a warning that came his way? What would it have been like for a Mesa? What would it have been like if Archippus, the only thing we hear about Archippus later, there's only one other place in the scripture where he's ever mentioned again, and it's later on in the New Testament, and the writer of the Testament says to salute him and the church that's in his house. So best we can tell about good old Archippus is when Paul come out with that warning, when Paul put that flag up in his life, and when Paul said to him to take heed to the ministry, he listened every bit with everything that was in him, straightened himself up, got himself back on the right track, got out of that depression, shook himself a little bit, and said, I'm going to go back to doing what I know how to be doing for God. I'm going to get back on track. I'm going to get back to the altar. I'm going to get back to God's word. I'm going to preach even if nobody listens. I'm going to do what God wants me to do, even if nobody cares about it anymore. I'm going to be found faithful to God no matter what comes my way. That was Archippus' response to that warning. That was his response to that flag that came up in his life. And now we know there's a church in his house. And who knows the results come the time when we get to heaven from a little man called Archippus that we don't know much about. But who knows the following that's in heaven now because he decided to take heed. How about you and me? Is there any flags going up in our life? Is there anything coming our way where we need to stop? Is the light yellow and are we pushing our foot on the gas trying to make it all through when God telling us to hold on a little bit, wait just a minute, to take heed for what's going to happen? What are we doing with those flags that get put up in our life? If we're not careful, we won't take heed. If we're not careful, we'll end up just like history has told us of Abraham Lincoln and John F. Kennedy and many, many others. There's plenty of people, and don't think God can't speak to presidents, even though he probably isn't getting much of a chance to speak to the one now that we have. But don't think God doesn't speak to presidents. He does. What would it have been like had they taken heed? What would it be like if you would take heed to the, or I would take heed to the things that God puts in our path? Sometimes we go on around. Sometimes we'll spend hours and days trying to figure a way to get around that thing. trying to figure a way to go under, go through, go over, instead of just taking a different path like God intended us for to all along. We'll do anything we can to barrel right on through, even though the sign says slippery when wet. We'll do anything we can because we're late, we're in a hurry, we're going to push the gas just a little bit more. When God's telling us to slow down, when God's telling us that even in the best of times, with the best equipment, this is slippery ground. Even when everything's working smooth, this isn't necessarily the place to be pushing forth like you are. Slow down just a little bit, but we don't listen to a word he's saying. And we're out the door. Our young people are backslid and they're out in the world. Why? Because preacher after preacher stood in this pulpit and threw up flag after flag. If you've been at the highway for any number of years, you don't have any excuse. You've had warning. You had warning after warning after warning. That someone was telling you, watch what you're doing. Someone was telling you, take heed. Someone was telling you, hold on just a little bit. There's some slippery times coming. But we didn't listen. We went right on past. I can remember. Why are you saying this, Brother Mark? Because I stood at the back of this church heading down to Florida. And Sister Collins looked at me and she said, oh, she said, when you get down there, you hold up holiness. You hold up that standard of holiness because they don't hold it up as high down there. It's not as strong a banner down there. And she said, when you get to Florida, you make sure you watch. Brother Paul, I didn't do it. I know good and well what it's like to go flying past a marker in my life that I should have took heed to. I know the years and the months and the weeks of toil in my spirit and turmoil rolling over in my heart. Why? Because I ran right past it and I didn't heed when someone was telling me, watch where you're going, watch what you're doing, make sure you don't mess up because it's going to be slippery. I didn't listen. I didn't take 1 ounce of heed. I went right on and I've lost years and years of my life spiritually because of it. Trying to tell me to do. What are you saying tonight, Mark? I'm telling you, take heed. Young person, I'm telling you, watch. Listen to what Mom and Dad's saying. You don't always know what they're talking about. You don't always see around the corners like they do. You haven't been through the potholes like they've been through. You haven't seen the things come up that they've seen. And even though you might not understand, take heed when they tell you to take heed. Watch when they tell you to watch. Slow down when they tell you to slow down. I told the kids at school, we've been talking about respect and different things. I was trying to get the point across to them. I know young people don't like to hear about what it's going to be like years from now and how things are going to be different years from now. But sometimes that's the only way we got to teach them. Sometimes that's the only way we got to get into their heart and let them know that we've been through some of those years. We've seen some of those things that time brings upon us. And I was just telling them how sometimes when we want to go somewhere, it would always be an extended time of departure. Because Ronnie Barker would have to go and check every stove burner, put his hand on it, make sure the stove was turned off, make sure there wasn't no irons turned on, make sure there wasn't nothing in the house that was awry or that was wrong, and make sure every door was locked. And I used to be so aggravated. I'd say, Dad, why can't you come on? And we're ready to go, Dad. We'd be blowing the horn. Me and Mike would be out in the car. We'd be impatient. At 197 Stewart Lane, a lot of the times, I'll be the last one out of the house. What are you doing, Mark? I'm going by the stove. I'm checking every burner. I'm looking at the doors. I'm making sure the iron's off. I'm making sure the curling iron's not left on, Brother Paul. What are you doing? I'm learning some things now. Dad wasn't so silly. Dad wasn't so dumb. He had a lot more smarts than I gave him credit for. And there's times when we need to stop. Don't be rushing out the door headlong. Take heed. Take heed. Take heed. Because sometimes they've seen some things you haven't seen yet. Sometimes they've seen some things we don't even know could come our way. And when our elders put that sign up, it's slippery here, son. Watch what you're doing. It's slippery here. Don't go this way. Put the brakes on. I don't care how good your car is. I don't care how good you might feel spiritually. It's just the week after camp meeting. It's just the week after the revival. You're not going to always feel this way. Slow down. Watch what you're doing. You say, what are you trying to do, Mark? Throw a wet blanket on their zeal? No. No, not at all, not at all. Just to let them be wise as serpents when it comes to the ways of the world. And just to let them know that they don't always know what's around every corner. There's times when I've got to read the signs. I'm amazed when I go into an area that I don't know much about. When you grow up in an area, you drive, you don't think twice about looking at any of them signs. You go right on by where they got them squiggly curves because you knew they were there when you were sitting in the back seat and Dad was driving. The road's the same as it's always been. Brown's Road hasn't changed much in the 35 years I've been around here. And as I go down Brown's Road, I know where all the curves are. I know where to slow down. I know where to speed up. But it's amazing to me when I get into an area that I don't know a whole lot about, especially when it's night. If you would just take the time to read those road signs as they go by, nothing comes up as a surprise. They've taken a lot of time. The Department of Highway Transportation or whoever it is has taken a lot of time to warn us and to let us know when a hill's coming up, or to let us know when something's curvy ahead, and to put a speed limit up there that you would slow down to, that you would be safe enough to get through there. And when I'm in an area that I don't know a whole lot about, it's always amazing to me that if I follow those signs, I don't have any trouble. If I follow those warnings that come by, if I don't let one of them rush past me and then me not pay no heed to it, I don't have a bit of trouble, Brother Ronnie. Why? Because someone's been there before me. And someone's already walked down that path. Someone's already been through that curve going just a little bit too fast, and they knew exactly what speed they were going. And they said, tell the rest of them to slow down right there. Tell the rest of them not to go out that way like I did. Tell the rest of them from here on back, here's a sign. They need to watch what they're doing. They need to take heed. Just those two words. Just those two words from somebody who at one time in their life did not take heed. God was merciful on me, but He's not always. Because sometimes we just run over top of that mercy. Sometimes we just trample the grace of God into the ground. Sometimes we get to the place, the devil gets us to the place where we're so depressed and we're so discouraged that nothing can touch us anymore. And before you know it, I took some yearbooks in for the kids. Sometimes I like to see how funny the teacher looked back in 1978 or 79. So I took some yearbooks in. And as I was laying them there, letting them go through, I grabbed one of them before they got a chance to look at it. And one fellow, this was Madison High School yearbook, one fellow was saying, did you guys have a good wrestling team? You want to know if we had a good wrestling team? I said, yeah. He said, did you have anybody go to state? I said, yeah. And I flipped to the page and it had a big thing up there, the first Madison wrestler to go to the state finals. And a big write-up. I can't even remember if he won or not. But as he was all excited looking at that, I pointed to that fellow and I said, before high school was even over, he got depressed and got discouraged, took a gun and blew his face off. Why? Because he had nothing to go on, no stability in his life. He was rushing past every warning sign. In America today, if you die lost, you've worked awful hard at it. If you die and go to hell, you've run over every roadblock. You went through every sign. We've got too much gospel flying around for these streets for anybody to stand before God without an excuse if you live in America. There's plenty of times out there that someone came your way. There's plenty of times out there that God spoke to your heart and said, why don't you go to that church? Even with nobody knocking on your door, God's going to come by. God's going to speak to you, and nobody's without excuse. I pointed to the man right there. I said, he's dead and he's lost and he's in eternity in hell right now. That's what happens when you're popular with the world. That's what happens when you go to state as a wrestling champion. It ain't nothing. It all vanishes away because he just ran past every sign God put up in his life. Let's take heed. Young people, let's take heed. Sometimes us older folks need to take heed. And Brother Todd was sitting back here with us at the youth rally, and I believe Brother Miller said something about I'm preaching to the young people or something like that, and Brother Todd kind of joked, looked over and said, man, you may as well go get a sandwich. He's not preaching to us. I said, young people, there's my age and down. I said, however old I am, that's the cutoff for the young people's age. I feel like a young person, but whether you're young or whether you're old, there's times God throws up a sign in your life and says, take heed. You're going to make a mistake here. If you're not careful, you're going to go the wrong way. If you're not careful, you're going to run through this and you're going to end up in a disaster. Take heed right here. Watch what you're doing. Archippus, just run and tell him, take heed. He's got a ministry. All the potential he had, Paul didn't want to see it wasted. Paul didn't want to see it all go for nothing. Paul said, you get a hold of Archippus and you tell him, I've seen some things in the Spirit and God's got some wonderful things. If he would just take heed, if he would just take a minute and fulfill what God has in his life and get himself back on the right track, the wonderful things God would have for him and you and me as well. If we don't run through those roadblocks, if we don't run through those warnings that God has placed in our path, and if we take heed when God says, it's all right. God's laid out plenty of signs. He's been down the road before. He knows where the curves are. He knows where the difficult terrain is, and He's got all the signs marked that we need to go by if we'll just pay heed to what He says. Can you say amen? Let's everybody find a place to pray.